Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Chwaba.
From the 920, Sherry says, hi, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Hi there, Sherry. Great to have you with us, as always. And from the 818, Bridget says, Frank Underwood, House of Cards. That is a really unlikable character. Kevin Spacey. And not the most likable guy off screen either, Bridget. So that's a great choice. The question tonight is, who is your least favorite TV character? And again, it doesn't have to be someone you like absolutely abhor. It could just be someone you just want to fast forward when they're on screen, just someone you don't like seeing in a particular show. Conrad, you had someone.
Well, it's Joffrey for me for sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't like Ted Mosby or Josh Radnor on How I Met Your Mother.
Why?
I'd say because he's very, I mean, he's funny in it, but he's very cringeworthy in it. Like on the, in the first episode, he goes on a date with his girl and he says, I love you on the first date.
God.
A lot of his traits though, I think people just didn't like. Like he would correct people when they said a word wrong or something like that.
Oh, that guy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that'll do it.
But I've been looking at some lists on my side over here and he's come up on every single list.
Yeah, I would have to say I'm going to stick with Alan Alda on MASH and Tony Soprano's mom. Both those two characters, I want to fast forward. And Alan Alda, that's almost not even fair. I haven't watched MASH in ages, mostly because of Alan Alda. Like the first few years, I'll watch the reruns, but man, when that got preachy, it was just not fun. So, but you can get in on the fun here. Let us know who your least favorite TV character is. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, let's just say somebody wanted to watch on the stream. Where do they go?
Oh, yeah. Well, you could go to Facebook under Nightlight with Pete Chwaba or WGBW. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media and under WGBW. And on Twitter or X, we're under Civic Media.
We've been jamming on Twitter, man. We got our Twitter feedback. A lot of people have been watching on Twitter. Yeah. That's always fun. You can watch the radio. That's the age we live in. Let's tune in and watch Pete sit at a desk and do the radio. How do you not love that? Gather the whole family around like they used to in the old days. I want to say that, you know, we don't talk politics much. I believe Nightlight is about bringing people together. But I was truly curious as to why Steve got fired, because I had heard rumors. And I knew that Steve was pretty much a lifelong Republican, but that there's a certain someone in politics he couldn't stand and he couldn't stop talking about them. And I admired him for that. I mean, Steve seems like the kind of guy that saved his money so he can handle a good firing. I don't know. I hope. I really like him. But I thought that was fascinating that you would get fired from that in an age where so many people complain about free speech. But anyway, that was interesting to me. So thank you for bearing with us, folks, here as we did delve in just a little bit. We dipped our toe in politics. Conrad, were you getting uncomfortable?
Yeah, you should have seen me.
Were you
over
squirming
here?
Over there? Yeah. He's a very interesting guy, and he truly is like one of those guys that, like Letterman, that they're so in their element when they're on the air. It's not like they're getting through something. It's like that's what they're supposed to do. It's not work. That's their essence. Kind of like me when I had a paper out.
You still never collected, huh?
I still never collect. I don't need the money. I don't do it for the money. I do it for the love. I love to deliver news to people. There's just no papers anymore. That's right.
So you're just throwing nothing out there.
Just walking around. I'm like the town crier. I'm just telling people what's happening. And then I just regurgitate the Civic Media news, community, local. I stay focused on that. So, all right, so a lot of good releases this week. We're going to have some fun with clips. Not necessarily tonight, we won't do too many, but the Simpsons movie came out. One of my favorite. I mean, as a Simpsons fan, when it was on TV, I loved it. The first 6 years of The Simpsons were outstanding. Like award-winning TV, parody like you've never seen before in American television. And when the movie came out, so many years later, I want to say 17 or 18 years after The Simpsons debuted, And several years after it was at its peak, I was like, oh man, I hope this is great. I loved it. I loved the Simpsons movie. Albert Brooks had a cameo. It was a great, you know, the way they satirized what was going on in America, just great stuff. So I'm going to try to find a couple clips from that tomorrow, but it is Vacation. Vacation was released. I do remember seeing it in the theaters in 1983. I don't think I was old enough to see an R-rated movie. I was not, but I did see it. We pulled a South Park and like got on each other's shoulders and put a trench coat on and went in. And, so we do have a couple great. Let's do the one. Let's do the scene, Conrad, in honor of the movie Vacation, where Chevy Chase is sharing a beer with Anthony Michael Hall, his son, his trusted son, Rusty.
You know what I want to do? When I was your age, my dad shared a beer with me, and I thought it was about the best thing in the world. Yeah, when I was a boy, just about every summer we'd take a vacation. And you know, in 18 years, we never had fun. But now I have my own family and, well, we're on our own vacation. And you know something, Russ?
What that?
We're gonna have fun. We're gonna have fun. Hey. Don't let your mother smell that beer in your breath. She'll take it out on me.
Yeah.
Oh, good talk, son.
Talk, Dad.
So great. It's like Chevy Chase is so folksy. And the whole scene, Rusty's chugging the beer while he's talking. He doesn't even notice it. He takes the can back from it and it's empty. Did your dad give you beer, Conrad, when you were younger? Did you have that moment?
He probably had me have a couple sips here and there.
Yeah, I never had that. I never drank. I didn't drink till very late into my freshman year in college. But I did with my own kids. I said, I want you to have a beer or some wine before you go off to college. I want you to know how it affects you. And my son insisted. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to drink. And he eventually did, probably around the same time as me, late freshman year, early sophomore year. And my daughter the same way, you know. And she's like, I'm not ever having a drink. I'm like, wow. It's like, how many times do I have to drink till I pass out or fall down where my kids get the message that drinking is not healthy? But they got it. When did you start? How old were you when you had your first beer?
I can't remember that.
Was that young, huh?
Yeah, I think I was like 6.
You were in utero. like high school, though?
Yeah, I think I had like a couple of sips here and there when I was in high school, you know?
Here and there.
Yeah.
Okay. We have another clip from Vacation. This is a great one, too. What is this one again? I'm totally spacing.
When they're in the car and then they go.
Oh, can't find the road sign. And he jumps the. All right, let's hear. This is a pretty self-explanatory. Those of you listening have probably seen this, the film and the scene.
Dad, I haven't seen a car for an hour.
Oh, shut up, Audrey. You don't think Dad knows where he's going?
Thank you, Russ.
You're lost.
Ma, I saw some detour signs.
I didn't see any.
I saw them when you and Mom were trying to fold the map.
Audrey, when they close the road, they put up big signs like this one.
I broke my nose.
I stabbed my brain.
I just got my period.
I better check under the hood.
Audrey, gather up all the clothes and put them in a pile. Rusty, find the first aid kit, then get the suitcases and bring them here.
Mom, where can I go to the bathroom?
Find a bush, Audrey.
Hey, Dad, you must have jumped this thing about 50 yards.
That's nothing to be proud of, Rusty. 50 yards.
That's so great. I didn't know what the heck they were talking about after they crashed the car. I remember Audrey saying she got her period. I was like, How does that happen? Because the car, and then she says she stabbed her brain, or Rusty says he stabbed his brain, and like, so funny. There's a lot I didn't get. Like, when you see R-rated movies before you're ready, you just kind of laugh like an idiot. Like, you get it, especially when you're with older kids. How old were you when you saw your first R-rated movie?
I can't remember that. Yeah. It was.
You were probably drunk.
I was probably like 14, around there.
Okay. Yeah, I was probably about 12, but maybe 11 or 12. And I knew, I'm like, I don't think I should be watching this, but I watched. And Animal House was released this week too. And that was one of the, that might have been the first R-rated movie I saw. And I remember, like, Steve was kind of alluding to this too. When you watch some of these films, you just want to see, when you're a 14-year-old kid, you just want to see nudity. And I remember the moment where Belushi is on the ladder looking into the sorority house and all the women are having the pillow fight and they take their tops off. And like, you could hear a pin drop in this room. There's like four of us. And we're just studying and making notes. Like, is that what a girl looks like? You know, all these thoughts that go through your head. And then Belushi turns and breaks the fourth wall and looks right in the camera and raises his eyebrows. And that was the funniest thing. You know, it was like that moment kind of made it not gratuitous nudity because they were going for the laugh, ultimately. It was a beautiful thing. Anna from the 608 texts in, hi, Pete and Conrad. My least favorite TV character is Tattoo. Played by Hervé Villechaize on Fantasy Island. His saying the plane was annoying. Wow, that's a great pull, Anna. If I was giving out tickets for something tonight, they would be Anna's. That's a great... Kind of forgot about that. I'd say Gopher on Love Boat was pretty annoying, too. Since we're going back to the 70s. Lenny and Squeaky, maybe? I don't know. All right, when we come back, comedian Zane Lamprey will be here. He is touring Wisconsin at the moment, folks. He's in Green Bay tomorrow night. And we'll find out all about that show and all about his comedy and all about Zane. It's All Things Zane coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
So, talking all things bad TV characters and dirty R-rated movies, that this seems to be the week. They must have done like a focus group or something that said the best R-rated movies in the 80s should be released this week in the summer. It works. Okay, tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, on the show, the host of the Rock Solid podcast, a great music podcast, Pat Francis will be here, and Madison-based stand-up comic Mike Mercury will be here talking about Madison Comedy Week, Dwayne Kennedy on Wednesday night. Comedy all week, folks, as we do so often here at Nightlight. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I have not had the pleasure of meeting him previously, but he's a very funny guy. He is touring all over, well, he's in Wisconsin right now, but he's touring all over America, and... we're going to get to know him a little better. Zane Lamprey joins me now. Hey, Zane.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I understand you're getting your steps in while we do the interview.
That's one of the deals. Well, okay. So I do about 130 stand-up shows a year. I'm okay. In 130 breweries drinking incredible beer. The deal I have with myself is, A, I get to sleep in if I do this line of work, which I do to stay sure. healthy. And then I also like, you know, work out 5 times a week, and then this is all very boring for people to listen to. But I get my steps in, right? So I get like, you know, 10 to 15,000. But on my days off, if I have a day off on the road, then I have to get at least 30. And so Whoa. my Yeah. So right now, this is riveting content here, but right now I have walked 15.4 miles today.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, but I'm able to like get a lot of phone calls done and do some research and stuff like that as I'm doing it. And like you said, I'm in Wisconsin. I'm just outside of Madison, Wisconsin. I'm always someplace. And I'm getting to walk around, and it's a beautiful day. I love the summer here. I hate the winter here. So here I am.
That's a great walking area too. Madison has great trails and just fantastic. A great city to walk. Just let us know if you switch to like a spin class or jazzercise or something. Just give us a heads
up. I was doing Peloton during the pandemic. Everybody was. Oh, and the stock was through the roof. Everyone do it. Bye, bye, bye. Yeah. And then we all, and now it's, you know, it's using it as a drying rack for my clothes at this point. So
you said you don't like winter here. Do you have a connection with Wisconsin other than this tour? Have you spent time here before?
I've latitudinally speaking. So I'm from Syracuse, New York, which is pretty much on the same latitude as you know, parts of Wisconsin.
Sure.
And I paid my dues. But here's the thing. I'm out here walking on this beautiful trail. It's green. There's wildflowers. It's beautiful. There's people everywhere because they're like, you know what? We earned this day. We don't waste beautiful days here in Wisconsin. If it's beautiful, we're outside because there's so many days where it's cold and the winter's here and that kind of thing. So it's, you know, the summer here is celebrated. I live in Los Angeles. The summer is kind of like, it's so hot outside, you know, people complain, but here it's like, you know, a celebration of life. The birds are out, the people are out, and it's amazing.
And they savor it. And you're right. I lived in LA for almost 15 years and I loved it. I had a great time there. Loved the weather, but, I do hate winter, and I'm amazed. I don't know if this was the case with you, but when you're there, you become a wimp really quick towards winter. Like I thought the first year
you
I
do.
Was there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, look, now winter to me is novel, and I don't mean to be like snooty about it, but like when I'm in LA and it's Christmas and it's 78 degrees out and we can jump in a car and go to Sequoia National Park, which is 3 hours away, and there's, you know, eight feet of snow, like, oh, that's cool, let's go do it, like, let's go get some snow because it's Christmas time, you know. But you can control it, but it's boring to me. It really is. I grew up in Syracuse, which is very, very, very similar weather, probably the same weather in fact, and I just got so frustrated in the because it seemed like winter just kept going and going. Like I thought this ended in March. Is this not now ending in May? Like, what are we doing? And so when I grew up there and then I went to college there and then I knew I was going to do stand up and acting, and you know, I could either move to Chicago, which, you know, or New York or Los Angeles, which is like, you know, it would depicted on TV. It's an incredible place, and there's great things about it and there's bad things about it. But for me, I think no one would disagree with the fact that it's one of the best cities in the country to leave. I love leaving LA, but then I love going back to LA, especially when, you know, when I'm traveling around someplace and it's cold, because I'm doing the tour all year round.
Right.
Sometimes, the name of the tour changes just so people know that it's new content, but it's the same tour. You know, I'm never stopping.
That's so great. All right, I have a question for you. First of all, I want to give you, I think this is a compliment. I hope you don't take it the wrong way, but.
I love it. I love it already.
Okay, so as I was, you know, doing research for your appearance tonight, and as a former stand-up myself, I was looking around the web, just trying to find everything I could. I noticed that with a goatee and a mustache, you look completely different. You go from looking like one of the nicest guys ever when you're clean-shaven to a guy who would scare Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
I appreciate that, but as this is not a visual medium, I want to be very clear that I don't have a goatee.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I have a mustache and a soul patch.
Okay. Well, the Zappa.
But you might. Very good. You might have some childhood trauma you're working through, and you might associate them as the same.
I could.
And maybe I do look. Maybe I do look scary, but. But here's the thing, you know, I struggle, you know, as I think most people do, to like keep our weight at a place where we're happy. And you can tell my weight because by my facial hair. if I weigh what I want to weigh, which has not happened for about 20 years, I'm clean shaven.
Right.
If I'm fat and I got a fat face, then I got a big old beard. But right now I'm kind of riding the line. So mustache, soul patch.
Dude, that is so, I knew it. Go ahead.
Here's the other thing too, is that my mustache, and this is very important, my mustache and my little soul patch thing, which is, I think is what it's called, is the only thing on my face that hasn't grayed. If I let my beard grow out, the whole thing is gray and I look so much older. So then I would like dye it. And then it's like, okay, this is crazy. What are we doing? I don't want to be that guy. So I literally shave everything on my face that is gray and I leave what is still has remnants of color. And that is who I am.
You are playing all the angles. Oh my gosh. Conrad, this guy really gets around.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. And that is I think that's what comedy is. I'm writing my memoirs right now, which is a pretty amazing journey to get to where I am right now. And it's honesty. It is so honest. There are things in there that no one's read it. And when my friends read it, they're going to learn things about me that they didn't know. No one knows everything that's in that book.
Let's pick it up there. After the news. Okay. I love this. This is great. Zane Lamprey is here. He's in Green Bay tomorrow night. We'll find out more about that too. And his book and all kinds of things, facial hair or not facial hair related. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. We are broadcasting statewide all over our beautiful state here in Wisconsin from downtown Green Bay tonight. Great to have you with me. We are talking to comedian Zane Lamprey, who is touring Wisconsin at the moment. Well, at the moment, he's walking the Oregon Trail, getting like 90,000 steps or something like that. But
I'm touring. I'm up to 36,000 steps right now. This good is fantastic. Lord. I love it.
Do your stretches. You don't want to pull a hammy before a big show in a brewery.
No, if I stretch, I'll break something.
So before we get to your tour, Zane, and your date tomorrow night in Green Bay, tell me a little bit, if you would, how you got started in stand-up. When did you know you could do this?
Well, so I did a show called Three Sheets years ago where I traveled around the world drinking. I drank in 71 countries. 72 if you count the Vatican, but there I just had a little sip of wine and the cutest little piece of toast. And
so was it a wafer works, or a host?
That works so much better on stage. I'm not gonna go into any bits. Okay, there we go. Okay, all right. I digress. I did a show called Three Sheets, traveling around the world drinking. When that ran its course after 4 years, I did a show called Drinking Made Easy for Mark Cuban. And what I had done is after Three Sheets was canceled, I planned to do a stand-up tour. And I had the whole stand-up tour planned across the U.S., 51 cities in 87 days. And then I reached out to Mark Cuban, who I knew was a fan of Three Sheets, and said, hey, do you want to make a domestic version of this show for your network, for HDNet. He had a network called HDNet at the time.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, let's do it. Like that was literally, yes, let's do it, was his response in an email. And so we did it. So I traveled around doing stand-up and then doing the show. I probably put more eggs into the basket of doing the show than doing the stand-up. But when, you know, so many networks have come and go, I've done so many shows that have gone a season, that now I make my priority the stand-up.
Okay.
Stand-up is kind of like, well, I mean, you know this. It's it's some of it is innate. A lot of it is learned. There are ways of doing things. There's methods and flows to the way that you present information. For me, I'm a storyteller. I tell people about things, situations I've been in, usually situations where I've done something and I'm the idiot in that situation, because to me, that's funny.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's what it's been. So I came back hard after COVID, after being like locked up in California for 10 months and, you know, through the pandemic. And on June 3rd, we did our first stand-up show at a brewery. And now we do exclusively shows at breweries. So I've done 406 stand-up shows at breweries since June of 21.
That is really, that's so interesting to me, because when I was looking at your website, I'm like, oh, wow, he's doing a show at a brewery here. Oh, he's doing one here too. Oh my God, these are all at breweries. Like, and yeah, I'm very impressed that you were able to circumvent Shark Tank completely and go right to Mark Cuban to get the okay, which is really cool. But
you know what? It was before Shark Tank.
Oh, no kidding.
And the thing about Mark is, I had my show called Three Sheets. It went off the air. I did a Save Three Sheets rally to try to get another network to pick it up. And so I had about 600 people come to this rally, which was really more of a glorified pub crawl in Los Angeles. And then 2 days later, I did the same thing in New York. And I'm going around New York with about 800 people. I couldn't even see the end of the mob. And the last place we were at was an Irish pub that was four stories tall. And I'm at the very top. And my buddy comes running up to me and says, Zane, Mark Cuban's downstairs. He wants to buy the show. And I'm like, buddy, Mark Cuban's not downstairs. But I'll show you that whoever's pretending to be Mark Cuban is not Mark Cuban. Work my way all the way downstairs, and there's Mark Cuban having a beer with you know, some of his friends we brought. And he was on this crawl. I didn't even know it. That's how many people were on it. And he said, I want to buy it. But the network that Three Sheets was on was putting all these shows together. They were lumping five shows. You couldn't just buy Three Sheets. You needed to buy five other shows, four of them, which he didn't want. And so when my contract with them expired, the first person I reached out to was Mark, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. We're good to go. So yeah, I had an in, but he does make his email public. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get in trouble, but it's pretty easy to find. And if you have something, you know, a quick question, he'll almost always get back. He says he responds to 1,000 emails a day.
Oh my gosh. So I
was one of 1,000 emails, but I did get Mark Cuban to write me a check for $1 million. So that's pretty good.
That is really cool. And I'm just looking at IMDb Pro here now, Three Sheets to all these countries. That's a brilliant. Where did you come up with that idea? Just to have drinks in other countries. Where did that?
I was a work for hire. I went into audition for this show called You Should Open a Restaurant. And the premise was you're such an amazing chef that they turn your house into a restaurant for the day. And they bring in, they turn like your house physically into a restaurant. They bring in a sous chef and waiters and waitresses and a bartender. And I went in and interviewed with these guys, and they said, yeah, you're not really what we're looking for. And I was like, oh, okay. They're like, no, you don't understand. The host of this show isn't the host of the show. They're the host in the restaurant. You would just be showing people to their seat. You know, your manager read this wrong.
It's a hosting gig.
And so it's not, yeah, exactly. It's a restaurant gig. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I left. And then they ran down the hall after me and said, wait, we got a show called Three Sheets where you travel around the world drinking. Would you want to do that? And I was like, yes.
Oh my gosh.
And that was it. So, you know, traveling around, I've done over 100 episodes, probably over 150, I guess. And it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, some people see different things. Some people look at it and go, oh, you travel around to get drunk. And some people look at it and say, oh, you learn about drinking through, the culture through hanging out with certain people. So I think people have different sort of optics of what they're seeing in it. For me, I don't really think that I was getting drunk. I mean, sometimes it was a hazard of the job. I was absolutely having fun. But that show, when Three Sheets, the network was on, went off the air, it got sold to Fine Living Network, which went off the air, then to Travel Channel, then to Spike, then to Hulu. So it was a popular show that kind of bounced around. And then since then, I've done other ones. But that kind of genre of show, the travel show genre, really because of YouTube, has kind of gone away. So there's always calls to like bring it back, and there's always meetings about doing that, whatever. But until then, I'm going to control my own destiny, and I'm going to go out and do my stand-up. So I do a tour every year. I do 100, like I said, 130 shows, and then I shoot a special. I take everything that I've done, and you know, a very tight hour, and I make it as an Amazon Prime special. So I've recorded 3 specials. And so now I'm out traveling around, and come April, I'll record another one.
And
I don't think it's customary for this business, but I'm very unconventional. So,
well, it's whatever works, man, and whatever you could do to find leg up somehow. And it sounds like you've done that from day one, which is really cool. Can people see all of your specials on Prime?
Yeah. So right now, Tender Looks is on Amazon Prime. And then my next one, Ski Patrol, comes out next month.
Okay.
And then at Christmas time, the Medium Club is another. So that's the third one that will come out on Amazon Prime. So, you know, by the end of the year, I'll have 3 specials on Amazon Prime. I'll have my book out, and I'll be continuing to tour. So, you know, I still have in this state, I still have Green Bay is the last one I have. Okay. I've done a bunch. I really do love it here. I don't hate the winter here as much as I love the summer here, if I can qualify that.
No, I totally get that. I love summer and fall here. You know,
who's going to defend? Who's going to defend winter in Wisconsin? I mean, come on, let's be serious.
You'd be surprised. My kids took martial arts for years when we moved here, and there are people that love snowmobiling and ice fishing. They live for it. And I'm like, okay, I got nothing for that. You know, good for you.
Yeah.
So
that is true. That is true. There. Yeah. That's I don't know how many days that's the other thing too, right? Like there's not a lot of days that are perfect for those things, but
exactly.
Yeah, I'm down. I guess it's way cooler than here than growing up in Syracuse. You guys got fried cheese curds. Literally just, you know, I rest my case.
Well, you could get them not fried too, which some people, we have this discussion on the show every once in a while.
I don't know why people would do that.
I don't either.
Why anyone would do that. That's Zane, crazy.
I am with you.
Right there.
Because they're very squeaky. The ones that aren't deep fried like squeak in your mouth and give you like that bile taste before you vomit, at least me. Yeah. But I like my deep fried curds.
Yeah, just bread them and fry them. I love it.
So where do you go with this, Zane? You've had 3 sheets. You've got your tours. I like the business model kind of you have for your career. Do you have aspirations to act or write stuff, or, you know, where do you, or do you just hope to keep doing this?
You know, it's so funny because it's, you know, I'm 52 years old. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've had development deals and shows with Comedy Central and Warner Brothers. And, you know, I worked with Merv Griffin. I worked with Mark Cuban. I did shows for MTV, VH1. It's, you know, it becomes a very much of a journeyman kind of a job. There's so many people that manage to just pay the bills by being in the business. And then there's people that can break out and, you know, have some financial independence, which I've been lucky enough to have, being able to control my fate, right? So when I'm doing my shows and my stand-up shows, it's probably 50% fans and 50% new people that just, you know, want to see a nationally, you know, recognized comedian who's coming to town. And it's pretty sustainable. You know, I think that people think that life on the road is like rigorous. It's just not that bad. It's just not that bad. I don't have the domestic responsibilities that I have when I'm home. I get to sleep in. I got a gym in my hotel.
Right.
I get to walk around. I get to, you know, I do eat healthier than I, you know, now than I did year one. Year one, it was like, we're going to Philly, cheesesteaks. You know what I mean? Right. We're going to Wisconsin. It's fried cheese curds every single day. You know what I mean? Bratwurst, you know, but right. Now it's kind of, you know, I'm more of an even keel about that kind of stuff. And it is writing, you know, I'm always writing, whether again, writing my book, but also writing the material for the stand-up. Every night, you know, I do my presentation. I do my stand-up, my show. And then I gotta sit back and make some changes. I'll go into the doc, you know, my docs or my notes, whatever, and I'll make some tweaks and go, okay, this one could be done tighter here. This one could be done tighter here. And then it turns into something else. I've done movies and they'll come, they'll pop up and that kind of thing. But with those, and I love them. I love doing those kind of things. But whenever you're doing something and you're putting your fate in the hands of other people, it's, you know, it things can just crumble. Like, I did a show on Food Network, and it was great. It was called Half Fork Will Travel. I was traveling around eating it, you know, every episode was a different city around the world. And the network executive, the, you know, who came up with it, left. The new person came in and said, I want a clean slate. I only want shows that I've created. So they push it aside. And you're just like, man, this is my life, man. You know what I mean? I put a lot into this thing, and now you just kind of push it to the side and I have to figure it out. And so with this, with my stand-up, it lets me be the master of my own destiny more so. Although, you know, there's other projects and stuff. The hybrid would be the best. If I had my show and I was doing my stand-up and I was able to do both of those things. And it's not like I necessarily want to do 130 shows a year. That's like a show every 3 days or less. But if I can do bigger shows, just focus on the weekend. But for now, this is what it is. And honestly, it's going great. The way that the you know, doing them at breweries is way more of a community experience than if I was going to comedy clubs, which right. I am transitioning into those, because now some of the comedy clubs are reaching out to me about doing it there. But it's fun. I'm having a great time right now. It's like, you know, they say you don't realize that they're the good old days until they're behind you. Like, I know these are the good old days. I'm alive. I'm walking, man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm walking and I'm laughing. So.
All right. I keep threatening to help you promote this Green Bay gig tomorrow night. We'll do that after an extremely short break here. And then I'm going to ask Zane what he's watching on TV when he's in his hotel room. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. We are in the home stretch here of a Monday night edition of Nightlight, talking to the very funny and very, very healthy Zane Lamprey, who joins us now over the stream. He is out getting his steps in and killing two birds with one stone. And that is what you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, to get ahead in life. Zane, let's talk about what is bringing you to Green Bay tomorrow.
That's
your
right.
show. Where can people get tickets? What can they expect?
They can expect some hilarious stand-up comedy as they join me at Badger State Brewing in downtown Green Bay. Is it in downtown? Do you know where it is? Have you been there before?
Conrad, do we know Badger?
Yeah, it is. It's downtown. It's kind of close to Lambeau.
Oh, sweet. I don't live in Green Bay. I commute like an hour, but Conrad's the man. He's got his ear to the ground here.
I'm talking to Conrad. I'm moving over. I'm talking to Conrad from now on.
He's a better conversationalist. You get more bang for your buck.
That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting. I'm doing all the talking anyway. That's by design. But yeah, so I'm doing my show there. I have an incredible opener, Nick Jerry. He's actually been with me since day one. So he will also be doing show number 407 there. It's fun. It is a very fun night. There's stories about my misadventures. And if anyone has ever seen my stand-up before, these are all new stories. I always keep it fresh. And you can get tickets at zanelamprey.com.
Nice.
And the show starts at, 8 PM. I think the VIP doors are 7 o'clock. And then the general admission doors are 7:30. I do a very fun, drinking game bit. I'd play three drinking games with the VIP audience before the general admission gets there. That is very, very fun. But the show itself is a lot of fun. You're drinking incredible craft beer. That is the constant of every night. And it's just fun. It's easy. It's not political. It's relatable. And even if you've never seen me before, have no idea who I am, you don't need that as a primer to understand it. We start at the beginning and kind of, you know, talk through everything there.
You know, I would think this would be like a home away from home for you. I don't know if you see these lists that come out every year, Zane, but like out of the 50 most drinking communities in America, Wisconsin has like 46 of them. And sometimes they have to team up three cities and count them as one. I mean, this is a drinking culture here. I would think you'd be an absolute rock star and could probably just make your living in Wisconsin.
I was thinking about it. I get reminded of the facts that you're throwing out there every single night. Some people brag about it.
I'm not bragging about it.
Someone brings up those same data points, and they are definitely bragging when they do that. And inebriated.
Right.
Yeah, look, I honestly don't know if this is safe. I'm going to go on a limb here and say, like, I love Wisconsin, Minnesota. I love this whole area and the vibe of things. I think more of an identity. Here's the thing. Minnesota, you guys are proud of your beer and your cheese, and they're proud of their lakes. And here's the whole thing. They got 11,000 lakes. I don't know if you know this, but you guys have 15,000.
We have more. Yeah, we do.
You have more. And you guys aren't all like braggadocious about it. You guys are cool. I know. You guys are hip about it. We didn't even talk about the lakes. We talk about the cheese and the beer.
We can totally take them. That's all I'm saying, Minnesota. Putting it out there.
That's all they got.
Whatever comes to that.
That's all they got is lakes, you know?
Exactly. So who are your influences, Zane, when it comes to comedy and when it comes to drinking?
Oh, man. Comedy influences. You know, it's everybody. It's everybody. I take a little something away from everybody. There's nobody that I like model myself after. I mean, growing up, I was a huge fan of Robin Williams and Eddie Murphy, but it was really any comic that kept my attention. You know what I mean? Any comic that had like the content and the energy to be interesting and to be funny. That's where it was. And now it's like, it's anybody who makes me laugh, you know, and knows how to keep it, you know, short and sweet. And as far as like, you know, drinking, it's so funny. When I had the Food Network show, my show Half Fork Will Travel took the spot of Bourdain's show, which I think was No Reservations.
Oh, wow.
And so there was an immediate animosity from Bourdain to me. And it was pretty heated, not publicly, between the two of us having conversations about it.
Oh,
and then he said, he goes, look, you don't have any place doing food shows. You're not a food guy. You're not a chef. He goes, Three Sheets, one of the best shows ever. I go, whoa. Just start there, man. I don't need the rest of it. Just stop.
Right.
Three Sheets, one of the best shows ever. Shut up. We're done. Let's get a drink. and literally, that was the conversation. And then we were friends. We were friendly. And when I was doing a show to a new network called Dream TV, there was a show called Four Sheets, which I was doing, a very short-lived show, short-lived network. But I was supposed to go to Cuba to do an episode, and I knew that Bourdain had contacts there, and so I was talking to him about doing the show there and all the contacts, and he was actually going to come meet me. He was going to come and be there for that, and that was the time when he met his met the maker.
Demise.
I guess he said.
Oh,
I don't
know. Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yikes.
So, I don't know if he's necessarily a drinker per se, but, you know, he's one of my idols. So when he kind of started dissing on me, I took it really personally. You know, just to the point where I was pretty hurt by it, you know, but I'm also, I don't shy away from confrontation, and I'm going to say something. And so we had it out, and quickly was resolved. So again, I don't know. You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about this, the preface in my book. And it's like, who's a drinker? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got paid to drink. Am I the most famous person to get paid to drink? I don't think
you would be. And I don't, I can tell you're not afraid of confrontation. You've already kicked me to the curb in place of Conrad. So,
I sure did. Why are you talking?
Hey, we got to run, buddy. This is so fun, Zane. Good luck tomorrow, before I lose my show.
Click.
The show is tomorrow night at Badger State Brewery, 8:00. You can get tickets for the very funny Zane Lamprey at zanelamprey.com. Buddy, this is great meeting you. Let's do this
you
again
too,
sometime.
Man.
Have a great show tomorrow.
100%.
Break a leg.
Let me know when you can come to the show. I'll send you tickets.
Would love it. All right. Be careful
Thank
walking.
You.
Okay, bud.
You got it. Seriously.
All right. That's Zane Lamprey. I'd like to thank him. I would like to thank Steve Cochran. That was fun to get to know. Two guests, Conrad. Two first-timers tonight. What do you say?
Yeah. It was great.
It was great. And thank you for your texts. We got another great question tomorrow and some great guests. It's all happening again tomorrow night like we do every night, celebrating the things that bring us together. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.